We're going to start the Mishnah now in the middle of Kuf Chaf Dalet Amid Beis. And before we do so, I just would like to give a little bit of an overview, sort of what we learned until now, in terms of the Shitos about Kli Shemlach Tal Heter and Kli Shemlach Tal Isur, Litzok Gufo, Litzok Mekom, Michama Litzel. It would seem that, first of all, by way of introduction, a kli shemalachto leheter, if it's a tzach gufo, a tzach mekomo, is going to be mutter according to everybody. The only one who seems to drop out here is Rav Yehuda. But even Rav Yehuda, I think, would only aser it in a case of a... Let's just think about this. What would Rav Yehuda say about a kli shemalachto leheter? It might be osur. You know, that was the lone shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But everyone else, I think, whether it's Rabba, whether it's Abaye, whether it's Rav, Rabbi Loza, Rava, everybody would seem to assume that a kli shemalachto leheter litzorech gufo is mutter. Actually, let me correct myself. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that kli shemalachto leheter is mutter betiltul etzar kufo. His gripe is in a case of a kli shemalachto leiser. And he's the only one who seems to say that even letzar kufo, kli shemalachto leiser is also. Everybody else is mater. Now, when we talk about letzarch makomo, that's already a little more complicated, because although in a case of kli shemalachto leheter, it would seem that everybody would be matir it, except again for Rabbi Yehuda, but in the case of a kli shemalachto leiser, it's not so poshut that you're allowed to move it letzarch makomo. There we had Rabba and Abaye who said it was osur. In the case of Michama Litzel, here we have a machlokes, even in the case of kli shemalachto leheter, Rava was mekil, so was Rav, and Rabba and Abaye were machmir. In a case of a kli shemalachto leisur, in Michama Litzel, everybody agrees that it's us. There was never a machlokes about that. All right, let's learn the Mishnah. Kol ha-kelim anitolim v'shabbos, those kelim that you're allowed to move on Shabbos, is shivreyem nitolim imoyim, meaning that even if such a kli, let's say you had a piece of pottery or earthenware and it broke, a big pot, then you're allowed to be metaltil the shards, the pieces, imohem. Now, we're not sure if this is a proper girso with the word imohem. Apparently many of the manuscript texts do not have the word imohem. The Rif and the Rosh don't have the word imohem. And if we leave out the word imohem, we would just say the following, that that shivrei kelim are not mukta, period. They have a function, we'll see, and that's why it's mut. The Sfas Emes wants to take the word imohem for those who have that girsa, and actually that's the way it appears printed on our page, although I don't think it's correct. But anyway, if you have the word imoyim, he says it's coming lahotzi kli shemalachto leiser. Now again, imoyim means that just like the kli itself was a malachto leheter, so too the shivrei kelim, insofar as they are also malachto leheter, them mutter betilt. But in the case of a kli shemalachto leiser, then you're not allowed to move a kli shemalachto leiser shelo letzarach gufo makomo. And therefore, even shvarav, even if they have a meleches heter, they are schlepped along by the ikra kli. The ikra kli, insofar it's malachto leiser, is osu betiltol. If it's shelo letzarach gufo, shelo letzarach makomo, even though now, with regard to shvarim, we have letzarach gufo, nevertheless, it's osu. And that has to be understood in the light of the maskona, the sugya, and Amir Tz Hashem will see that. Now the Mishnah adds a condition that the Shivrei Kelim have to be Re'uyim, it has to still be suitable for some sort of function. And the question is, what is that function? So if you look at our Mishnah, the Mishnah gives a very strict and limited kind of definition of function, and it says, Osim me'ein melacha. And this is the principle which is very big in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara in Kelim, of Re'uyim Lasas Bahen Me'ein Malachta Rishona. So for example, if let's say the original Kli, when it was whole, was a receptacle, then the Shvarim also likewise to have a Torah's Kli would have to be a receptacle, and then and only then could we give it a Torah's Kli, a Shem Kli, and it's Mutar B'Tiltul. For example, Shivrei Areva. So let's say, for example, you had a bowl and you use it for kneading with a K, right? So you have a dough and you knead it in this special kneading bowl. Then you're allowed to be metaltal it. And why is it roy? What's it roy for? And you have a broken Areva piece, a shard from an Areva. L'chassus b'enes p'yachavis. You can cover a barrel with it. Now, why is that called Me'ein Melachto HaRishono? And I'm going to read to you the Ran. The Ran says, Dahainu Shehem Deigdolim L'chasus Behem Espi HaChavis. It has the size, this shard, this broken piece, to cover the opening of a barrel. Okay, that's fine. But the original Areva, the Kara, was used for kneading dough. And the question is, how do we set up Me'ein Melachto HaRishona in this case? So that I must conclude that the Mishnah is dropping the requirement of Me'ein Melachto HaRishona. And now we have to go back to the Mishnah and read it carefully. The Reisha of the Mishnah says, Osim me'ein melacha. It doesn't say me'ein melachta rishona. That might be a requirement in Tumah V'Tahara, but not here as far as Tiltul is concerned. All we need is me'ein melacha. Period. What's me'ein melacha? Any melacha that you come up with. If it's functions, then it's good. So you had something that was an areva, it was lashon basad batzek. Now it's good lachasus pikavis. That's okay. Shivrei zchuchis. So normally you would have this glass jug or jar that was used to hold on to some liquid or maybe to oil, and now you're allowed to be metaltal if it's only a shever, it's only a broken piece. Lachasus behemis piapach. So if you have a kli. And let's say it's a very narrow its opening is narrow. You can cover it with one of the shvarim of the jug of the clay zchuchis. Now it's interesting because probably what the Mishnah is saying over here is that even though the malacha that he's using is almost antithetical to the original malacha, right? The original malacha was to hold on to something, and now it's, you know, the holding on to something was when it was mechubra l'kli, it was a part of the kli, and it was there to receive the contents, quality oil. Now, what we're trying to do is cover the kli and to keep things out. But nevertheless, it's considered royal amlocha and it's mutar b'tiltul. And in this general concept called shivrei kelim, We seem to be very liberal because we could probably always find some sort of use of a shever keli, and we're not bound by me'ein melachta rishona. That's according to the Tanakam. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the heter of tiltul in shever kelim is bilvad shiyu osim me'ein melachta rishona. He has the equation to Tumah V'Tahara down pat. And therefore you need Me'ein Melachta Rishona. So what would be in a case, for example, of Shivrei Areva? It has to be Roy Lotzuk L'Tochan Mikva. So if you have a very thick soup or some other cooked food, then what you could do with this shard is latzuk litocha. You know, it has a little bit of a receptacle, not for liquids, but for something that's almost a solid, and therefore it's me'ein malach de rishona. Right, you started with what? With a thick dough, which you were kneading on the sareva when it was whole. Now the broken shard is good for a marak, you know, putting on a very thick soup on it. So that's also like the dough. Or, for example, in the case of shivrei kelim shel zchuchis, it has to be roy latzuk l'sochan shemen. It still is a receptacle. Just like the original, when it was not broken, it was whole, was a receptacle. So to now, it still serves as a receptacle, and that's called Me'ein Malach Rishona. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's only roi to some malacha, you know, lechasas pe'em pi chavis, that's not going to do it. That's not going to be mater tiltal. So we need, in a sense, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a little bit of a hemshech of a skeleton, so to speak, a shadow of the original kli. You know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's veheishiv levavos. You know, we need a continuity of the generations here. The original kli, and now the shever kli, which is a continuation of the original kli. Now, the Gemara wants to clarify this machlokas between the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda. What's the scenario? On Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmuel, machlokas kishin nishbru me erev Shabbos. If the kli was broken before Shabbos, already before Shabbos, the original purpose for which the kli was manufactured and designated is gone. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Demar Savar, in order to reconstruct the kli, so to speak, when it broke before Shabbos, you need me'ein malachto harishona. What was the original function when the kli was in perfect shape? Meaning in that case you're allowed to be metaltalit, because it's not mukta. In other words, mukta means when you exclude it from something else. Here you haven't excluded it from something else because it's mein malachto. But let's say it's only mein malach acheres, like for example a shever kli to cover the barrel. Lo, that's not going to be. That's not going to be matir the tiltul, because since it was broken on Erev Shabbos and it was changed from the original malacha, so then we don't have the same kli on this shever unless you're going to be able to use it for that which you originally designated it for. And it doesn't have a shame, a Torah's kli. Now the question you might ask is, what would be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it broke on Erev Shabbos, and then you verbally or at least mentally you decided to designate it for a malach acheres. You had that in mind. Then you can create a new shem kli based on the fact that you were miyachid it for this malach acheres. Now, would you actually have to use it for that malach acheres on one occasion? I don't know. But certainly would require, at the very basic minimum, according to you, that you be miyachid it and designated for that malach acheres. But in the absence of redesignation, then it doesn't have a Torah's kli. It's like a stone, it's like a piece of wood, and it's also a tiltal. However, Marsov, according to Tanakama, afilu me'ein malach acheres, even if this kli broke on Erev Shabbos, and it could only be used now, it's suitable for something that's totally different than the original function of the kli, it's mutar b'tiltul. Why? Because as far as the physical body, so to speak, the material from which this kli was made up of, there was no haktzah, it wasn't mukta. You know, he intended to use this physical thing. Although, again, he intended to use it as a kli for function X, but nevertheless, he was never makatzit, and if he could use it for another function, then it's, if it's roi lezer malacha, then it's not mukta, there's no isur tiltul. Well, now let's get the case, according to Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, where everybody agrees. That's a case of Nishbru B'Shabbos. And then we have to ask ourselves, which direction is Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel going to take us if you cover the Gemara? Is he going to take us L'Kula and he's going to mean that Rabbi Yehuda is Modeh, or is he going to take us L'Chumra and the Tanakam is Modeh? You might say, well, since it broke on Shabbos, he didn't have any opportunity to redirect or reassign the purpose of the kli name. Says Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Avol Nishbu B'Shabbos Divrei Hakol Mutarim. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to be metaltel l'shever, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and even though it's not roy l'malachto rishona. But why? And the answer is hol umuchanim al gabe avien. Now, as we entered into Shabbos, and there was no status of muktz on this kli, and the shever is part of that kli. It's, so to speak, a childbirth of that kli. It's born from that kli. And therefore, agav, the kli gadol, when it was complete, and all the pieces were, cemented together, now each piece enters into Shabbos with a stempel, with the seal of being muchan. If on Erev Shabbos, you didn't have any achana on this kli. Why? Because you were making it as such, for a certain original malacha. So then we're not going to say that there's a svara of muchanim al gabi avia, because now that original kli is no longer, it died, it broke, and now you have a shever kli. Did you redesignate it or did you not? And if you did not, then according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, it's not a kli, because you don't have the main malachto rishona. So now we get to Rav Zutroi, and he has a kasha on Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. Mosiv Rav Zutroi from a braisa that says Masikim Bekelim. Now we're talking about Yontif, and you need fuel for your fire on Yontif. Are you allowed to take a kli and bake it in the oven, together maybe with other kelim that are complete? But is it real? Is it royal etaltel? So it seems like this price is saying that any kli that's royal etaltel is therefore can function as, you can redirect it if you want to say as a as fuel for your fire. But then the Braisa goes ahead and says, V'ein masikim b'shirei kelim. You have a kli that's broken, and you want to use it as fuel on Yontif. No, it's muksa, and you're not allowed to be metaltel. Now let's clarify what the case of the Braisa is. Dinishbra Amos, when exactly did this kli break? Ilema dinishbu me'erev Yontif. If it was broken on Erev Yontif, so what did you have? You had Shivrei Kelim on Erev Yontif. Is Eitzim B'Alma Ninhu? What do you do with a broken, let's say, broken segments of a wooden kli? You use it as fuel. So why would the Braisa say that you're not allowed to be metaltel for the purpose of throwing it into the oven as fuel? El Olav, we have no choice but to assume that it broke on Yontif. And yet, the Braisa says, Ketani, Masikim B'Kelim, V'ein Masikim B'Shivrei Kelim. That we're only allowed to use the full kli as fuel into the oven, but not the broken shards of the kli. The Braisa is not willing to be matir tiltul on Shivrei Kelim, to use it as fuel, and say, well, you know what? It was Muchan on Erev Yontif as part of the greater kli, and therefore now, even though it broke on Yontif and we have the segments, those segments are part of the original kli. No. The Braisa is not willing to say that. We're going to say that, you know what? When it was original, before it broke, you didn't want to use it as fuel. It had a purpose, this kli, and now it broke. You got a brand new kli that all of a sudden, is niskadesh. And in a case of a kli chadash that was niskadesh, it was like nolad on Shabbos or Yontif, is then it's also, you can't use it as fuel on Yontif. And this is against Shmuel, because Shmuel claims that everybody agrees in the case of Nishbru B'Shabbos that it's not, there's no Isur Tiltul, it's Mutter. And he applies the principle of Muchan Agav Avien. But why don't we say here also that we should be Matir Shivrei Kelim when they broke on Yontif, use it as fuel, and it's Muchan Agav Avien, Agav the Kli Gadol. By entering into Yontif, it was a Kli Gadol. And we're not, apparently the Braisa is rejecting the principle of Halel Muchanim al Gabi Aviyah. We're just going to simply say that it's, you know, the kli itself, when it was whole, was not omila soka, and now you want to use it for fuel, that's all it's good for after it breaks. Well, that's a whole new chiddush. That's a brand new, shall we say, nola. And it's lacking in achana. We don't say it's muchan agav avien. And now, based on this brisa, the Gemara is going to try to rewrite the text of Shmuel. Eli Itmar, what Shmuel had in mind was Hachi Itmar, the Machlokis in the Mishnah, as far as Shivrei Kelim is concerned. Amar Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel is Machlokis K'shid Nishbru HaKelim B'Shabbos. The Machlokis here between the Tanakhama of Yehuda is a case where the Kli broke on Shabbos. The Mar Sover, according to the Tanakhama, Mutarhu, Muchanhu. In other words, since going into Shabbos there was Achana on this physical Kli, its material substance, then the Shivrei Kelim are Muchanim for any Malacha, even if they're Roy for any Malacha. It's not Roy for the original Malacha, and therefore it's Mut, but nevertheless it's Roy for any a Malacha, not the Malacha, and it's Mutu the Tiltu B'Shabbos. Umar Sovavar of Yudah holds Noladhu, that if this Kli does not function, I mean, talking about the Shivrei Kelim, in its original capacity, then what we really have is something brand new. As we said before, it's Nolat. So there was no Achana on these Shivrei Kelim. You know, you're right to say that, well, physically, it's the same material structure, and the Tanakhama would say it was Muchan, even though now it's broken, fine. But says Rabbi Yehuda, we have a principle called Panim Chadoshes Bo'olakan, which means that even though physically it's the same object, but it's a brand new Kli. What do I mean by brand new Kli? I mean, you can't sell it as a brand new Kli, but I mean to say it's not the same original Kli that was Muchan, because now that original Kli is gone, and the Malacha for which that original full cold Kli was designated is no longer in existence. So now you have a new, you know, have a new Malacha. You found some sort of purpose for which the Shivrei Kelim are suitable. Okay, that's called Nolda. That's a Nolad situation. That's a brand new Kli. Halachically, legally. So again, unless you have, says Rabbi Yehuda, Roy, Le Malacha Rishona, Mein Malacha Rishona, then only in that case of Mein Malacha, you can say it was Muchan Mibod Yom, and you can be Matit Tiltul. But if it's not Roy Le Malacha Rishona, even though it does have another designation that it could be used for, then it's also a Tiltul because it's a brand new Kli. Ah, Vol Meir of Shabbos. But if on the other hand the Kli broke on Erev Shabbos, Divrei HaKol Mutarim, everybody's going to agree, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to be Matir. Even if it's not a shever that is suitable for the Me'ein Malach Rishona, but hol v'huchnu l'malacha mibodjom. In other words, mibodjom, you have a achana here. And you might ask, well, he wasn't making it. If he was making it, there was nothing to talk about. That was upgrade. But the answer is, there's a achana built into the chefetz, in this case, the Shivrei Kelim, because it's roy l'malacha acheres. And this really touches on what we've said many times is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in Muktzah. Now the Gemara brings a machlokas about using Kelim and Shivrei Kelim as fuel on Yontif. Tani Chad, we have one brisa, Masikin beKelim, which means if you have a full Kli, then you could use it as fuel. But Ein Masikin beShivrei Kelim on Yontif, you can't use a broken Kli as fuel. Tani, we have another brisa that says, Kishem Shemasikin beKelim, Kach Masikin beShivrei Kelim. Now we have a third brisa. V'tanya idach ein masikin lo b'kelim v'lo b'shivrei kelim. So now the Gemara is going to try to work out all three brisos and all three shitos. Let's start with the first brisa that was matir hasaka only in a complete kli, but not an incomplete kli. So the Gemara says, "Ha, that brisa, the first brisa, reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's matir tiltul of kelim." For any purpose whatsoever, but he prohibits tiltul of something that's nolad or something that's mukta. Therefore, in the case of a full, complete kli, then you're allowed to use it for asaka, because any keli that's mutter can be used for any tzorech. There's no isur tiltul. Fine. But in the case of shivrei kelim, here Rabbi Yehuda asks it for asaka. Why? Because the preparation, the designation, achana, was not for this tashmish, but rather brand new tashmish, vis-a-vis this shivrei keli that was nolad on yontif. And therefore we have a din of nolad, as we discussed earlier. So far, in this first brisa, we're just reiterating what we saw before in Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Ahab, but the second brisa, that's Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds that in addition to being matir, the tiltul kelim for any tzorech, even if it broke, then it's not going to be an isur tiltul muktzah. Why? It's not going to be nolad, because that's Rabbi Shimon's shita. That's not nolad. It's part of the original physical kli, and it has a function, and therefore we can maintain, if you will, or preserve the original shem kli, even in the case of shivrei keli. Now here's a chiddush. What about the third brisa, so that you're not even allowed to take a full kli, which is sholem, and it's roi the tashmishim, and you can't redirect it for asaka? That's Rabbi Nechemya. And Rabbi Nechemya, if you remember, was the one who was only mater eklisha malachto leisul etzorach tashmish amiyuchad lo. And the purpose and the function of this kli, and we're talking about a full, perfect shape kli, is not for asaka. That would be a waste of money. You know, you can take a couple of planks of wood wherever you'll find them, and throw them into the fire as fuel. So the original tashmish amiyuchad lo is now not being used. And Rabbi Nechemya is the one who prohibits tiltul kelim, even if it's, again, it's a klishim lachtala heter. But if he's not using it for the original primary use for which it was designated, then there's an isur tiltul. And how much more so would Rabbi Nechemya prohibit the tiltul of shivrei kelim? Because there, as we said before, there's an isur nolad, and that was the svar of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's asur betiltul. So Rabbi Nechemya, just to summarize, says that we have two chumras over here in Rabbi Nechemya. One is that a kli shemlachta heter is only mutter of fetiltul if it's tashmish amiyuchad lo, not for a secondary tashmish. And secondly, with regard to the isur nolad in the case of shivrei kelim, he's going to apply the principle of nolad to shivrei kelim. So it's really interesting. I have a kli; it's made of wood. You know, I use it to store things, whatever I use it for, I put it on the table, maybe I don't. And now I'm running out of fuel, and it's yontif, and I want to keep the fire going, for a variety of reasons. Says Rabbi Nechemya, I'm not allowed to pick up this kli and throw it into the fire, because that's not l'tashmish amiyuchad lo. Now the Gemara is going to bring two halachas in the name of Rabbi Nachman, as far as kelim. And we're talking about a keli that its tashmish has been changed. Omar Rav Nachman, hani livne dish tayer mi binyani. We have levenim, which are bricks, that were left over by a person. So in other words, he prepared X number of bricks for the purpose of building. And now, he finished his building and he still has some leftover bricks. Yishari litaltulinu. These are permissible as far as tiltul is concerned, the chazu lemizga alayu. Why? Because you can use these bricks as a chair, which means that you stack up some of the bricks, and even though it's not designated for binyan because you already completed the building, but nevertheless it's roi v'omed for yeshiva, and therefore it has the Torah's kli, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. But in contrast, Shaginu, which is called Sidran Bar Rema, let's say he actually stacked up the bricks one on top of the other, is then Gila Daito Vadayak Tzeinu. In other words, as long as it's in natural state, so to speak, it's just a brick, a single brick, you may have a number of single bricks, it's not yet essential that I have to use it for building purposes. So it's not necessarily a klishe melachta l'isur. I can use it just as well for sitting on it. That's called chazgil mizgalayu. However, once I start stacking it up, I've done an action to objectify or to indicate for everyone that it's clearly akzeinu, that I have designated this for binyan, and that makes it into a klishim lachtalisur, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltan on Shabbos. That's one halacha of Rav Nachman. Now we have a second, Omer Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. We have a piece of a cheres ketana. So you have an earthenware, a small utensil, and it broke. So you have a shard. Is mutal taltel bechotzer? We're going to allow you to carry this in a chotzer. Why? Because there are kelim mitzuyim bechotzer. And if you have utensils that are in the chotzer, you may need to cover them, and you could use this shard of this earthenware that broke as a kisui to cover your kelim. So it still has a Torah's kli. Aval b'karmel is lo. Only in a chotzer would we permit it. Because in a karmel is, we don't generally find kelim. So there's no availability that would generate a need for the shards to be used as a kisui keli, because there are no kelim to be found in a karmelis. Rav Nachman didei amar, although Rav Nachman was quoted in these two halachas, was quoting Shmuel, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he accepted these two halachas. But afilu b'karmelis, he wants to be matir, to be metaltel a chaticha shard from a klicheris, even in a karmelis. Once it's not a Rishus HaRabim, and he says, you know what, there are people who are there, it's Matsui, Anoshim Boim Misyashmim Bo, and therefore, you know what, if it's being used, if this Carmelis is, what word do I want to use, it's like a domicile, people are doing normal, you know, living activities in a karmelis, because the karmelis, let's say, is hefker lakol, so he may find spit on the ground, or worse, and he wants to use this broken shard to cover up the spit. And therefore, we can consider it as matzui, that we can anticipate the use of this shard. And that applies even in a karmelis. Avol b'shus harav mimlo. Although people will use a karmelis for their own personal usages, and they may have left some refuse there that we want to cover, but Rishus HaRabim is simply for the Alichas HaRabim. It's like a highway, and people are just in the rush. They don't sit down and enjoy the benefit of Rishus HaRabim. My wife and I were once in the East, and there we found that people go out into the Rishus HaRabim, and that's where they do everything. Out in public. It's a different culture. And in that culture, you may need a shard to cover something, even in Rishus HaRabim. But we're assuming that in Rishus HaRabim, people are not sitting around, they're not doing anything, you don't need to cover anything, and the shard therefore becomes mukts. Now that's Rav Nachman Didei, as opposed to Shmuel. Now we have Rava. Rava says, Afilu Rishus HaRabim, he wants to go even a step further. Today Rava is the big mekel, as we've seen. And he's going to be matir tiltul of a chaticha of cheres, because you never know, it might be royal itashmish in a chotzer, and therefore it's considered a kli. In other words, the same kli is not going to be pokea just because it's located in Rishus HaRabim. Meaning, let's look at the shard and imagine where you could use it, where it would be functional. And that's going to give and generate in the shard a shame kli. We don't have to look at this particular location where the shard is located right this second and say, well, what are the chances that he needs it and it will function in that capacity? The Azda Rava L'tameh, this is actually consistent with another statement of Rava, another sheet of Rava. The Rava Vika'azil Beriska Dimachoza. Rava was walking down a Rishus HaRabim, which is called a Riska, that was the name of the boulevard, and it was in the city of Machoza, a major urban center in Bavel. And Itvase Masone Tina. His sandal got filthy. You know, he stepped in, I guess, something that that soiled his sandal. Asa Shame, so he had, the Rav had a second in command, you know, we call it in Yiddish a Heusbach, or he had a servant. And Shakel Chasba, and this Shame found a broken shard of an earthenware, and he starts, Kamachapel, he starts cleaning off the sandal to remove all this filth that got stuck, all the mud, or whatever it is that got stuck, the cement or mud that got stuck on the sandal of Rav. And Rabu Bei Rabbana Kola, there were some chachamim around, and they started yelling and screaming. You know, you're being metaltal a shever cheres in the middle of a reshus harabim. Right, we're talking about a riska dimachosa. You know, it's a reshus harabim which is called riska, and in a reshus harabim, we're not going to allow you to be metaltal a shever cheres, because what are you going to say? You know, what are you going to say? It's roy for something, but we don't assume it's roy for anything in reshus harabim. Is Omar, so Rava got up. And he said, "Lo mistaya de lo gmiri, ella nigmar nami megamri." He says it's not bad enough, so to speak, that the chachamim didn't learn enough about what's mutter and what's asa. But even worse than that, they made a mistake in the abstract, you know, the ruling of halacha, and nigmar nami megamri. They're teaching it to others. You know, it's bad enough if they made a mistake, but now they're pointing it off on others. And Rav explains why it's mutter to do what the Shammai did, to take the shard and clean off his sandal. And why is that? Ilu v'chatzar havi, if this piece of pottery, of earthenware, was in a chatzar, milo havi chazi l'chusuyi be'mana, certainly in that location, we would expect that he would cover up something. And therefore it's royal lios mana. And therefore, Hocha, here though, even though he's in Rishus HaRabim, Nami Chazil Didi. It's appropriate for him to use it in that capacity to clean off my sandal. And it's Roy, for me at least, L'kaneachbo, to clean off my sandal, even though it's a Rishus HaRabim. So all we need as far as this Cheft is concerned, to be Matid Tiltul, is to point to it and be able to say, well, there, elsewhere, it would be Mutter. It would have a function. Like, for example, in a Chatzer, or the like. Om Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, Megufas Chavis Shenichtita Mutter L'Taltula Mutter L'Taltel B'Shabbos. So we have something called Megufas Chavis. In the old days, they used to take a barrel and they would cement the lid onto the barrel itself in order to guarantee that the wine inside would remain fresh wine. Now what happens is Nichtita. So this lid of the Chavis got completely smashed. And at this point, right, it says, Kisui shel hachavis, nishbra hachavis, shehu mechasa osa. So you have the cover lid, and that's fine, that's in its own original perfect shape. But it was designated as a megufas chavis, and this chavis itself is now broken. Now, exactly what you want to do with the cover lid, I don't know, but the question is whether it's muktza. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says mutter l'taltel b'Shabbos. In other words, what he's saying is that whether the kisui or the shivrei kisui, the chavis, it makes no difference. They are re'uyim l'chasus behem keli. Again, right now your keli is broken, but nevertheless, the magufa itself, right, the kisui itself, is roy. You know, it's right to function as a kisui. And now, let's take a look at shivrei achavis. Well, the shivrei achavis are also roy lechasus b'emes hakele. So the basic reasoning of Shmuel is pretty intuitive. He's saying that even though the chavis is nichtita, it's completely smashed, but since the cover lid is in perfect shape, then it's mutu l'taltel, and it could be used as a kisui. Now, there's going to be an additional point here. The Rishonim, I just want to point out that even the Chavis itself, now that it's broken, it has Shirei Chavis. Those are also, according to Shmuel, Mutav Tiltul, because they can function as Shirei Chavis. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a Brisa to support Shmuel, Megufa Shenichtita. So you have the covering over the barrel, and the barrel itself was broken. Is he, meaning the lid itself, Ushvarea? Here's where the Rishonim see that even the segments, the broken part, shards of the Chavis, is Mutal Etaltal on the Shabbos. However, Velo Yispos Mimena Shever. He has to be careful not to be Mesaken and to remove the parts of, you know, there are always jagged edges whenever you have a broken shard. And you might want to be tempted to use the broken pieces to cover a kli, but you see it's very sharp and perhaps even dangerous, so you want to smoothen it out. And that's what the Brisa wants to warn us. Don't you dare even think about making this tikkun and trying to smoothen it out and remove these jagged edges in order to be machasaba sakli or lismokba es kariyamita. So that we're talking about a real full violation of a molacha doraisa of makavipatish if he perfects this shever as a covering by smoothing out its jagged edges. Vim zarka. Now what happens if after the chavis broke, he decides, you know what, I have no use for the lid of the chavis, the cover, I don't have a chavis, so what do I need a lid for? So what did he do? He threw it in the rubbish bin, ba'ashpa, his asur. Then he himself was mevatel the shem kli. And this is something that Amir Sashem, we're going to talk about at great length. I'll just give you a little bit of a haschola here, maskev lo rav papa. What happens if you have begadim and you throw them into the rubbish bin? Does that mean for now that you're mevatel from Torah's kli? Well, guess what? Here's a brisa, and the brisa doesn't mention, as we saw before, that when he throws the kisi or the chavis, that's considered a bittel shem kli. And it's no longer mutav tiltul. Elamiata, if you're going to go with that, is zorek leil glime alchinami de asur. A person has a beged on Shabbos. He throws it into the waste basket. You know, it's seemingly indicating that, you know, he's putting it away. It's alchinami de asur. We never found in the halacha that you're not allowed to be metaltil something which you put in the rubbish bin. And the answer is, if it does have a function. I mean, you might think that, you know, you don't want to use this beged for whatever reason. You don't like the color scheme. But other people would use that beged. And here too, in the case of a cover lid, there are many people who would pay money for a cover lid. So you threw it in the ashpa. In such a case, we apply the principle called butler daito etzel kol odom. People don't throw away things that have a use. So a kisa shel chavis is butler daito etzel kol odom. And if that be the case, let's go back to the Sefer the Brisa that says Imzarka ba'ashpa osur elomer apapa. Here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Chaf Heyam and Aleph. If you have the magufa, which is the lid of the chavis, and you threw it into a rubbish bin on Shabbos, it's not osur. But what the Brisa has in mind is Imzarka mibod yom la'ashpa asura. If in the footsteps of the breakage of the chavis, he decided to throw out the cover lid. He has no purpose for that, and he threw it into the ashpa. That's already makta midaito, and that means it's not choshev a kli. So we don't say butler daito sol kodo on everyone's rubbish. You know, whatever you throw into a rubbish bin, that's fine. That's butler emitoris kli. On Shabbos, if you had a shame kli and it broke, here we're going to take a look at objective terms. And if the kli has value to it, we're not going to say, well, he decided he's going to throw it out. That's called butler daito sol kodo. Omar bar hamdure, Omar Shmuel, chromios, Okay, now we're talking about strips of wood that are very thin, shelmach tzelis, that usually make up a mat, M-A-T. And now the pieces of the strips of the wood that make up this mat got separated one from the other. Is muta l'taltal on b'Shabbos. So the Gemara immediately asks, my timer, well, what's the underlying reason for such a heter? What purpose do you have of these chromios that would give them a status of a kli and therefore would be matir till to the Shabbos on a rova? Bar hamidure is Asbroli. I got the inside scoop. He explained to me the reasoning of Shmuel, and the answer was that machtzelas gufa lamai chazia. What do you use a mat for? Lechasuya be'afra. Right, you put it on the ground with his offer. And you want to make it a little more comfortable to walk on the ground, so you cover it with a mat. It could be, for example, that on the ground there's tsoa, you know, all sorts of filth. So you want to cover that over with a kisui, which is called a machtzelis. Hani nami. Now we get up to the chromios, which are those strips of wood that make up the machtzelis, but they were separated one from the other, is chazion l'chzuye be'hu tinofes. Even if you don't have all the pieces of the wood to make up one unified mat, but every single slat of wood could be used at least to be machasa a certain amount of lichluch. Maybe you can't cover the whole living room floor, and you'll have plenty of lichluch, but at least you could use it in that area. And therefore, since it's functional as a kisui, as it was originally, then the din hasn't changed, and it's muta betiltal. Another halacha in Shivrei Kelim. Omar Rav Zeira Omar Rav, Shiorei Prozomios, okay, Osu L'Taltom B'Shabbos. Now we're talking about Chatichas Bad, you know, strips of clothing, of cloth, that were left from Talisos, from various garments. And what happens is when a garment starts to disintegrate with time, you know, bolu, it becomes kind of decay, not exactly decay, but it's, I think disintegration would be a good word. And now you have b'godim shebolu, you know, talisos shebolu. The question is, and that's prosmaios, you know, what are you allowed to do with them? And the statement here of Rav is that it's osu betiltal. So Omar Rabbi wants to qualify the words of Rav, and he says bimatlonios she'ein bem shalosh al shalos. Maybe Rav would make sense if these little pieces, you know, these little patches of cloth are so small that they're less than three etzbos, which has to be three etzbos square. And that's the shear for Kabbalah's Tumah. And if you're talking about a piece of cloth that's even smaller than Sholosh al Sholosh, then Lo Chazion, Lo Lanim, Lo Lashirim. Even an Oni, if he has a rip in his garment, could not possibly use such a small piece of bad, of cloth, as a patch to cover up his rip. And therefore, also l'taltal on b'Shabbos. But again, if you're talking about a normal cloth of a decent size that came from a talis that was bola, is no longer in service, then that for sure is muta b'tiltal, and that's not what Rav had in mind. He's talking about a minuscule, small piece of cloth that's not right, even as a patch over a rip, it's less than sholosh al sholosh as bos. So I just want to add one note over here as to how to understand Rav. Right, we have the smallest piece of fabric, and that's gimel etzbos. That could be used as a patch, and paupers will mend their garments with this small patch. But if it's less than three etzbos, then even a pauper, someone who's destitute, would not use this small piece. And it's kind of like a busha to use such a small piece. And therefore, the implication here, and this is the Shita of Rashi, and explained by the Gaon, if you can take this scrap, and although it is not used as a patch, but it's an ordinary cloth, meaning our Gemara talks about a talis. The talis was originally used for the mitzvah of wearing a talis. now it's no longer, you know, usable, functional in that capacity. It would be a busha to take something that's designated for a mitzvah, unless, again, if the scrap that's left from the talus is large enough to be used as a patch, okay, that's not useless. That's considered muktzah. Now, again, all this is because the patch is from, the piece of cloth is from a talus. If it was a scrap of an ordinary cloth, then let's say it's less than gimel al gimel, you can use it to cover dirt, and that would not be muktzah. It would not be also betiltel. That's the shita of the Bir Agra and Rashi and other Rishonim as well. However, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ritva, many other Rishonim, they explain that Rava's ruling pertains to any scrap of cloth. And by definition, if it's less than gimel al gimel atzbos, it doesn't have any significance. People will discard them, they'll throw it into rubbish, and therefore it's not a kli and it's muktzah. It doesn't have any purpose. You'll ask the kasha, even if it's very small, you can conceivably use it to cover dirt. But the answer is that this piece of cloth had a different task when it was whole. And now bolat became, it became disintegrated to some extent. So now you want to use it to cover a kli, that you can't use. You want to use it to cover a rip in a garment, and it has the measurements of 3x3 atzbos, that's a whole different story. So let's just see where we got up to here on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Aleph. We're up to Tana Rabbanan, and that would be approximately the two dots here, 10 lines, a little bit more, maybe 11 lines down from the top of the Omen on Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Aleph.